Approaching 8:30 this morning, live on Swift 98 and The Spur, and welcoming on the air with me live this morning, U.S. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman for her monthly report today. Good morning, Congresswoman. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm wonderful, Duke. How are you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. Appreciate your time, and I actually understand you were in Lincoln County recently visiting some students, both in public and private schools, public and home schools in Cokeville and Kemmer. Tell us about your visit.
Just over the last couple of days, I've spent quite a bit of time in. I started in Kemmerer with several families that homeschool their children or have a hybrid situation. Some of them actually attend some of the extracurricular activities, either in Cokeville or Kemmerer. All of them seem to be very musically inclined, and it sounds like they have great music programs over there. And then from there, we went up to Cokeville and had an assembly with the high school. So I got to enjoy everything from what I would say about five, six years old, all the way up to seniors in high school, and I truly enjoyed it.
What was one of your takeaways? You mentioned the music programs, and when you look at the ground level of education in Wyoming, what do you see with what's happening in the schools?
I think we have phenomenal educators in Wyoming, our teachers, our families who are so incredibly engaged. That was one of the things that was very apparent, is how important education is to these families, whether they are in a homeschool environment or they're sending them to the public schools in Cokeville. Very engaged students. I was incredibly impressed with how articulate they were, how well read they were, how interested they were in the outside world. And when I went around, especially with the little kids in the first stop outside of Kemmerer, just talking to them about their aspirations and what they're interested in doing. And boy, they have some ideas about their futures that I don't think at 7 years old I even knew about. So it is clear they're getting phenomenal education. Their moms and dads are very engaged, and the programs must be phenomenal. But also, again, with the hybrid program, almost every single one of them talked about the importance of music to them and how good the music programs are. I did meet the music teacher in Cokeville very briefly. I know that they're doing the Phantom of the Opera, which is a pretty amazing program that they're going to be doing. I think they're doing junior high through high school. And I thought that was just fabulous. He seems like he was a great guy.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Well, of course, so much happening as always. Government shutdown. Let's touch on that. Of course, both parties have been accusing the other. When you look at the government shutdown, in your view, why is this a Democratic-caused shutdown, Congresswoman, and what do you think needs to happen for this to end?
Because the Republicans in the House passed a clean CR, a clean continuing resolution, meaning we passed a bill that is not what I would refer to as Christmas tree. We passed a bill that was very clean, that all it says is we're going to continue funding at the same level that we were funding the government under Joe Biden's presidency. So this is even the budget that was in place last year that the Democrats have already voted for. The Democrats have voted for a clean CR 13 times. They voted for this funding. So I just am kind of mystified as to why they don't want to vote in favor of a bill to keep the government operating at the same levels as they were a month ago or a month before that. And that's really the issue. They're holding the government hostage. They're holding the American taxpayer hostage, demanding that we spend we appropriate an additional $1.5 trillion in spending, health care for illegal aliens. One of the things that I'm the most offended by is that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, in the reconciliation package that we passed in July, one of the things that the Republicans prioritized was investing in rural health care. So we appropriated $50 billion for rural health care. Half of that is to be divided equally among all of the states. So Wyoming is set to receive over $500 million over the next 5 years to develop and implement a robust rural health care program. The Democrats are demanding, as part of their holding us hostage on this funding issue, they're demanding that we repeal that funding for rural health care, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Some of the other things that they're demanding is that we go right back into funding all of those horrible policies that we found out that USAID had been funding, various LGBTQ programs in Haiti and other countries, abortion on demand in other countries, really some insidious things that they're demanding that we fund, and they're holding the government hostage until we do.
When you look at some of the government employees being affected by this, are there any measures being taken to, as this continues to progress, this shutdown, how are the people, the government employees affected? What's being put in place for them, if anything?
So one of the things that I appreciate is I really do believe that the president is trying to minimize the impact on Americans, on the actual Americans that pay for the government and that the government is supposed to be working for. So as you probably saw, they have found funding to be able to pay our troops. That's one of the things that the Democrats have historically, again, held us hostage over, because they refused to pay our troops, knowing that we all hold them in such high regard and want to make sure that they do not suffer the consequences of these bad policy decisions. But President Trump has found the money to go ahead and pay that. The other area where he has found the use of some of the funds, he's raised almost $200 billion with the tariffs that have been in place over the last several months. And he has directed a portion of that to fund the WIC program, Women, Infants, and Children program, so that our low-income mothers are able to afford food and buy food for their children. So that kind of a program is continuing. You know, I'm not a huge advocate of doing cuts in employment through this kind of a mechanism. I think there are other mechanisms to do that. I think you reform agencies is the way you should go about that. But right now, we don't have any choice. This is the decision that the Democrats have made by refusing to vote in favor of a continuing resolution and demanding an additional $1.5 trillion in spending. I am hoping that perhaps next week, after the I Hate America rally takes place on Saturday in Washington, D.C., they're referring to it as the No Kings Day, as though we would have a king in the United States. It's such a ridiculous proposition, but that's the rally or the riot, depending on your point of view, that we're going to see on Saturday. Hopefully after that, the Democrats will feel that they could go ahead and try to help us fund government and move forward so we can finish our appropriations bills and actually represent our citizens.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Congressman, of course, one of the other big topics right now, the ceasefire deal between in Gaza, between Israel and Hamas. What can you tell us about this, this ceasefire agreement? And do you feel like it has the teeth to hold up, not only in the short term over the next few days and weeks, but does it have some long term implications to it?
Well, boy, I sure do hope so. When you look at the 20-point plan that President Trump put forward, I think one of the things that he did that many of his predecessors were unwilling to consider or even think about was the fact that we have got to address the relationship between Israel and the other Arab states within the Middle East. And then we could potentially address the Palestinian issue. And that's what he did. What the Palestinians have been able to do, what Hamas has been able to do for the last 20 to 30 years, is essentially hold everybody in the Middle East hostage to their demands. And their demands, especially for Hamas, has been that Israel no longer exists, that there is no Jewish state in the Middle East. What Trump did and what his negotiators have done and his ambassadors have done is they've said that is a non-starter. We're going to develop relationships between Israel and their neighbors and Hamas and the Palestinians. If they're not on board with that, they're going to be left in the dust. Hamas needs to be removed from any vestiges of power. What we've seen even in the last couple of days is once they're not trying to kill the Jews in Israel, they are focused on killing each other. And I am hopeful that that cooler heads will potentially prevail, but I don't trust Hamas. At the same time, I think that this is an incredible opportunity. Everybody in the world is tired of the war. Everybody in the world is tired of the strife in the Middle East. Israel has the right to exist. Israel has the right to defend itself. And Israel has the right to win the war that Hamas started on October 7th, 2023. I am hoping that what President Trump did and his negotiators have done is put us on a pathway to peace so that we can stop the killing and the hatred and the terrorism that we have been subjected to. Watching the hostages come home, first of all, my heart filled with joy seeing them and knowing that those 20 young men are now back with their families, but it also filled my heart with dread and anger at looking at those young men and what has happened to them over the last 2 years. Nobody could look at the torture that they have suffered through and take the side of Hamas or the Palestinians in this battle. What they did to those 20 men and the 28 that are still missing, the bodies, I guess it's 24 bodies that they have so far refused to return, the murderous thugs in power over there, what they did should be a wake-up call for the entire world to understand that Israel has to protect itself, that Israel has the right to do that, and we have to have a change of regime in terms of representation of the Palestinians. Hamas has got to go.
And along those lines, you talk about still the war happening between Russia and Ukraine. Do you see maybe a potential light at the end of the tunnel there? Is there any hope for some sort of an agreement?
Well, I sure hope so. Again, I would love to see cooler heads prevail. One of the things that has always struck me about this particular war, especially in terms of our European brethren, they have slammed the table, pounded their fists on the table, rendered their cold clothing, screamed and yelled that the United States had to send billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine to save them, yet they have been funding Russia's war because they have such horrible failed energy policies. So Germany, the European Union, England, France, all of those countries have been funding both sides of the war. They have been funding Ukraine, not to the extent that the United States has, but they have been sending some money to Ukraine. But by refusing to look elsewhere for their energy from rather than Russia, they've been funding Russia as well. And to me, it just demonstrates the failed states that we have in the European Union right now. Just this week, Hamburg in Russia, one of the largest, in Germany, one of the largest cities in Germany on Sunday had a referendum. Only 43% of the people in that city voted, but they voted to deindustrialize. What do I mean by that? They voted to get rid of the use of all fossil fuels. Well, you want to turn your city or your country into a third world hellhole. Just get rid of all of your fossil fuels. Just deindustrialize. Just make it so it's impossible to manufacture within your own community, and you'll see what's happened. Yet that is exactly what Hamburg did in Germany. Talk about a horrible policy and subjecting their citizens to just abject poverty. It's crazy what they have done in that regard. But again, if they would stop buying fuel and energy and oil and gas from Russia, the war would probably end because Russia wouldn't have the finances to continue prosecuting it. So I would love to see the Europeans turn elsewhere and actually get some common sense back into their energy policies.
That's U.S. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman of Wyoming on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Congresswoman, while we have you, anything else that you're working on specifically that you'd like to mention while we have you on the air today?
Well, I think that probably many people in Wyoming learned last week that the Biden administration was spying on our senators and U.S. representatives, including our very own Senator Cynthia Lummis, and tracking her movements. And I don't know to what extent they accessed the information on her cell phone, but we know that they were attempting to do that and, in fact, did that in surveilling senators. I find that to be reprehensible. I think it's in a horrific abuse of power. It's an issue associated with separation of powers. I can't believe that they did it. And I don't think that those are the only people they most likely did it to. So we need to get to the bottom of that. But one of the bills that I have been pushing since I've been in Congress is called the First Amendment Accountability Act. And what this bill would do is it would allow someone such as Cynthia Lummis, who has had her First Amendment rights violated by the federal government, she could sue the individuals responsible for that for damages, for injunctive relief, and for attorney's fees. We need to have some consequences and accountability when people violate our rights and invade our privacy, and especially if they are federal employees and have the power of the FBI behind them. So I am pushing forward with that bill. I think that it is important that our representatives and senators get on board with that, get it to the president's desk for signature, because I want to make sure that no one else suffers this kind of an invasion of privacy from our government. I mean, I've said this over and over again, and everybody knows it if they know civics. The government works for us, not the other way around. The federal government is not our overlord. It is our servant. And it is a government of, by, and for the people. And the idea that a president would use the FBI to spy on the opposition party, the political leaders of the opposition party, is absolutely shocking to the conscience. We need to make sure it never happens again. And so that's one of the efforts that I'm pushing forward with right now.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time, as always, for the updates, and we'll look forward to next month and talking again.
Thank you.
That's the Weekday Wake Up this morning, and Wyoming's U.S. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. It's on the SVI Radio Network.